Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us today, Bill?
Well, we have a sponsor, Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. And right now, they've got a great inventory of tractors. Go up and see them. All shapes and sizes. They got them with cabs. They got them without cabs. They got implements. They've got a lot of inventory. So go up and see them. Or give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da! Nice.
Yeah.
So don't often say a lot about this, but you can always find us at wethepeopleradio.us. We are always open to sponsorship and promotion for local businesses, national businesses, you know, projects. If we have something that would interest the wider audience, maybe PSAs. And sponsorship comes in all shapes and sizes. We have lots of individuals who sponsor the show every now and then, sometimes regularly. We're pretty flexible. But we have been around for this October. I guess it's like 14 years doing this show. And the archives go back that far. The, I guess, rather unique thing about our archives is we take out the advertisements. So thanks for sponsoring, but we're cutting you out after. Sorry about that. But we do take that out just to speed up the listening and make it easier for people. And they are stored on our website in MP3 files that are not password protected. All of the information on all the shows gets its own page on the website. And so you can find out about our guests, the materials that they reference. You can research what they tell you or share it with other people. And the sound files are grouped as the full 2-hour show, first hour, or the second hour. So you have three options there. And again, free to listen to, and we hope you will share the information. We try to do things that you haven't heard all the time instead of just regurgitating what we all hear repetitively. We try to do things that need more airtime. Today's topic is one of those topics. Whenever we talk about the VA, you need the whole show because there's so much stuff.
Too much going on.
Too much stuff. So there's always a scandal brewing at the VA, I guess. Spoiler alert.
It's their job.
Scandal, another scandal. And Kristen Rule seems to be at the tip of all those scandals. And she's accumulating friends as she goes through life who accumulate scandals as well. But this affects everyone. I mean, if you're not a veteran, it affects you as a taxpayer. So somehow this is affecting you. And I think you'll agree with us at the end of this that this stuff just shouldn't be going on.
No.
These things just shouldn't be happening. So we have all four of our guests on a speaker, on a conference line. So we have Kristen Rule, we have Peter Rizzo, we have Ken Crandall, and we have Ben Krause. So we didn't really plan out how we were going to do this. I thought maybe we would start with Kristen since she was the one who kind of kicked this topic off with me, gosh, I don't know, like a year ago. And I've got a short bio on her. So I'll give you little snippets on our people as we go, and you can always go online and read those. So today is September 10th, 2023, in case we replay this at another date. But you can find it at wethepeopleradio.us. So our guest, Kristen Rule, has worked at the Department of Veterans Affairs for 15 years in Veterans Benefits Administration. They call it VBA. Currently, she is the program analyst where she and her team spread the word about available VA benefits. After blowing the whistle at the Department of Veterans Affairs, she was informed that her confidential whistleblower communications, confidential, I guess we should put in quotes, and her personal information, also in quotes, is being stored in a VA system of records that is not secure, and the information is readily available to the people she reported while she was a whistleblower. She's here today to bring awareness to other whistleblowers. These guys have all been whistleblowers. Ben Krause, we'll go into him, I don't know in what order. Ken Crandall, we've done shows with. I've listed both shows we did with him. And Peter Rizzo has a really interesting whistleblower case, one that you just – outside of EA. He even tried to go outside of EA and got tangled in something, and it's like, good Lord, what is wrong with the world? So the good news is, even though the world's gone crazy, there are always people willing to point that out. And it's an emotional toll that it takes. It's a financial toll that it takes, time, everything. So it's not easy when you see all this stuff that's wrong and you want to step up and do something about it. And so cut to you, Kristen. Where do you want to start with this?
First of all, I just want to clarify that we actually started talking to Kristen like 8 years ago.
Yeah, 2015.
Yeah, yeah. So she's been on this for a long time, really knows what she's talking about, and this is just another chapter in the VA's
ongoing. You should go back and listen to those shows. We had psychic reading parties with VA employees. It was just like, yeah, stuff you wouldn't believe. Anyway, Kristen, fire away. Where would you like to begin our travels?
Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me back.
Sure.
Yes. Today, the reason that I feel it's important is I've been a victim of my identity being shared with thousands of people. When we're at work every year at the VA, there's a mandatory training you have to go through where you must go through a TMS course and you learn all about whistleblowing. And they tell all the employees you have a duty to, you know, report things if there is a violation of a law or rule or regulation or anything. So I took that seriously. They even tell you how to report things and who to report them to. So I first reported things internally for, you know, a while, and then I started, when there wasn't much success that way, I went to external sources. And when I would do all these things, I'd send emails, letters, back in the day, faxes, you name it. Ken Crandall's on the line with me. We did everything we could do to bring awareness to what we thought were major problems happening at our work. Well, over the years, all those communications have piled up. I thought that was behind me until I got a call from Peter Rizzo, who was on the line, and he can let you know exactly what happened and how we became friends on this show.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Kristen.
All right, so wait a minute before you go, Peter. So we got to tell folks that you are no stranger to, I finally got a good bio for you. Thank you for that. No stranger to calling out corporate and governmental misbehavior. So he's worked on both sides of the line, in the government and in private industry. Worked for 7 years in the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. During his tenure there, he and his colleague, James Metcalf, director of Western New York National Cemetery, they were critical of the agency's design of a busy intersection adjacent to the cemetery. Rizzo was removed from the project and Metcalf was silenced as the ill-conceived traffic design was implemented. We've never seen that happen in our own towns. 7 days after the intersection reopened to traffic, two veterans were brutally killed at that site after leaving a funeral service for a friend and fellow veteran. Lovely.
It was a very scary moment in my life and very difficult time to be working for VA and to be put in that kind of a predicament. But I first want to thank you, Aaron and Bill, for having us on the show today. And as you mentioned, I am no stranger to whistleblowing. It seems that everywhere I turn around, there's some form of misconduct, waste, fraud, abuse, corruption, you name it, going on. And it's never our intent to blow anybody in. It's just to correct the issue. Sometimes it's as simple as changing behavior and redirecting somebody or enlightening them to what the law allows. But consistently, when you try to do that, you are the victim of retaliation. You're in the wrong. And that's the situation that Kristen has found herself in, and Ken and myself, repeatedly throughout our careers. In particular, this case and why it is so important today, the one we're talking about related to VUES, the VA Integrated Enterprise-Wide Workflow Solution System. It is basically VA's internal correspondence system. When a communication comes in from Congress, a person on the VA side of the house will enter that communication into views. They will create a case file within this electronic system. And they have the ability to designate that case as either sensitive or not sensitive. The default is not sensitive, or at least it was. And so for many years, they had been putting information in, received from Congress, from veterans out at home, sending letters into the secretary, whatever it may be, and putting it into the system. Some of that information contains Social Security numbers, date of birth, addresses, phone numbers, you name it, personal health information of veterans, and information about whistleblowers, and maybe communications. Let's say that, for example, Kristen, she goes to her congressional rep and says, hey, I need some assistance here. I filed this case. I'm getting no traction on it. I really need your help. And then that member has Kristen fill out a form that asks for her Social Security number, date of birth, home address, home phone number, her blood type, or whatever it may be. And then they send in that document right to VA and say, hey, this person needs some help. Here's all the personal information. And they put it right into views. On top of that, they put in all of the things that she disclosed and then added communications that she had with the secretary and with others all into this system that 2,000 people across VA have access to, including, in many cases, the retaliators themselves. And so how did they know that Kristen did this, or how did they know that I did something or anyone did anything to then retaliate against us? It's because potentially, or we suspect, because of views and the loose controls that they had on security protocols. So there are really two components here. One is that there's veteran information, PII and PHI, personal identifiable information and personal health information, as well as critical information related to whistleblower cases that are in some cases life and death situations for the people that we serve as VA employees or as a former VA employee. And it's readily accessible to just about anyone, or it was. Well, I discovered this in late June of 2022, rather. So late June 2022, I stumble across some information that I should never have had access to and realize that, oh my goodness, there's whistleblower information in here. So I've known Kristen for many years. I searched her name, and lo and behold, some very sensitive information came up related to her case, including correspondence with the secretary, et cetera. And so I let her know. And we then brought this to the VA chief of staff, the deputy chief of staff for VA, and because the chief of staff has control and authority and jurisdiction over the views system. Unfortunately, the chief of staff did nothing about it. And so we went to the Office of Special Counsel, which accepts whistleblower disclosures and retaliation complaints, and then they either investigate them or have agencies pursue them. In the case of a whistleblower disclosure, they have the agencies look into that, which is the fox guarding the hen house.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what they did with this case. Yeah. So they on August 2nd, 2022, thereabouts, VA was asked to investigate views and to look into concerns related to views. And unfortunately, it turned out that they could not get that report done for 11 months and 19 days. So all of this system has, with all of its vulnerabilities, existed as it did when Kristen and I discovered this, for at least another 11 months and 19 days before they could finish this report. The chief of staff knew about the concerns, chose to take no action while this report was being completed. And she provided in her testimony, by the way, to the Senate on this topic. Well, the report has since come out in draft form, I have it. Kristen has it. And I've provided it to Ben. It's published on his website. And I would encourage you to take a look at it. The executive summary is a whitewash effort by VA. But get into the body of this document, and there are some damning findings and extremely serious situations that exist that are even above and beyond and more serious than what Kristen and I initially suspected.
And who, at the time you reported this, we got to go to a break.
Sorry about that.
Kind of curious who was in charge at that time and what they did about it or didn't do about it. So we'll take a break. Maybe we can come back with that.
Yeah. There's a lot behind all of this. And I don't think people realize when we come back to you, Ben, if you would, Peter, if you would make a note that the information that's available, like the personally identifiable information and all that, what that entails. Because a lot of people who don't work, you know, just have regular jobs. I never dealt with PII, you know, that kind of thing in my private industry work. I know some people do, but I don't want to ever assume that people understand all the ramifications of this, because initially you're thinking, well, what did they do? They got your name, and you reported some stuff that was kind of public anyway. Nah, there's more to it than that,
yeah.
And it's not stuff a federal agency should be divulging. We'll come right back. You are here listening to We the People Radio. Our guests are wide and varied. We have four of them on that are all whistleblowers with the VA. I think you'll like the show. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us, and here's a song for Kristen.
Won't be long till summer comes. Now that the boys are here again, the boys are back in town. 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 The boys are back in town.
Spread the word around.
The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
Would be Peter, Ken, and Ben be the boys that are back in town.
Yeah.
Can't have a song about girls and no songs about boys. That's wrong. Okay. So, Peter, back to the questions we left you hanging with at the end.
Who you said you reported it to a couple of different levels, and I'm kind of curious if you can tell us who was in charge at that time and how they skated around that issue.
Absolutely.
We reported to the whole country. We reported it to every person we could think of that would actually have any type of power to do anything.
Correct. And at VA specifically, in charge of this system was the current VA Chief of Staff, Tanya Bradshaw. And Kristen and I both spoke directly with her deputy, who had actually just come over from the House Veterans Affairs Committee. She was just hired by VA, and I video chatted with her. I randomly called her through Microsoft Teams, which VA uses for internal communications, and we were both looking at each other, and I told her flat out what was going on here. I explained precisely my concerns as I did before the break, and she was mortified. And she understood the severity of the situation, and she assured me that she was going to inform Tanya immediately after we hung up. And based on Tanya's responses to the Senate, we'll talk a little bit more about Tanya in a moment, I'm sure, and why she was speaking to the Senate, but she told the Senate that she was made aware of this right away, and that she chose to do nothing about it because, quote, weeks, something, this is a paraphrase, not a precise quote, but she said, well, weeks later, we learned that they went to OSC, and OSC asked us, the Office of Special Counsel, asked us to do an internal investigation. And so I chose not to do anything.
Hmm.
And so if you have a house burning down, you know, that's the kind of situation we have here. This is a problem. We've got smoke. We've got fire. Oh, don't worry. We're not going to pull the fire alarm. Somebody else will figure it out.
Right.
Well, because how are you going to communicate? You can't use your, you can't email anybody. You can't communicate with them because it'll all go public. And talk a little bit about the private information that is available through that system to 2,000 people who probably have no contact with any of you in real life.
Well, and those 2,000 have the ability to share that with
exactly.
countless others.
They do.
Yeah.
For
sure,
sure Bill. And that's the big risk here. You know, you hire somebody to work at VA, and you can only trust them so much. I mean, there are bad actors in any organization, and certainly some of them may very well have access to views or may inadvertently misuse the system. But specifically, personally identifiable information is any information related to education, financial transactions, medical history, criminal history, employment history, your Social Security number, your date of birth, your address, your phone number, anything that can be used to single you out, to identify you as an individual,
wow.
is classified as PII. And then personal health information, obviously, would be anything from your medical records. So if you're a vet who went to a member of Congress and said, hey, you know, I've been diagnosed with this by VA, I'm not getting the treatment that I need, or I need to see a specialist, can you help me? VA is denying this, and you are, the member contacts VA on your behalf,
and
which
they do
discloses
all the time.
What you have.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course, and discloses the diagnoses that you have been given and what you're requesting. Well, that information is in views, invariably, number one. Number two, it's very likely that it was not and may still not be designated as sensitive, which means that, again, any of those 2,000-plus people have ready access to that information and could potentially misuse it. It takes one person to misuse that information.
And tell me again, who determines if it's sensitive or non-sensitive?
That's a great question. It's the person on the receiving end of the correspondence, which is typically an intake individual, a lower-level salaried person at VA who is in the correspondence office or wherever they may be, that receives the email or receives the letter. They enter it in, and they decide. Now, there are rules governing that, but they apply only to PII and PHI, and obviously they're not being followed. But there are no rules related to whistleblower cases. And so there's still nothing, there's no policy in place for them to follow if they wanted to protect whistleblowers.
Because that should exist outside of an accessible domain for obvious reasons.
Of course.
Now, another question I have is, I know in certain branches of law enforcement, if a law enforcement agency or person accesses information on a citizen, that citizen is notified that they have their information's been accessed by law enforcement. What you're saying is there's nothing in place in the VIEWS system that requires them to notify people when they're looking at their private information, and there's no way to track what individual is accessing that information.
Well, those are very good questions, and we've received conflicting answers. So in some respects, we're told that VA cannot track who downloaded a case or an attachment within a case on VIEWS. And yet we know instances where they have, in fact, identified who has gone in there. For example, Kristen's case specifically was downloaded by the time I had reached it 6 different times, meaning the correspondence she had with, I believe it was with the secretary, had been downloaded 6 times.
Wow.
For what reason?
Yeah.
For
Kristen's,
what reason?
Kristen's and tracking on Amazon.
Right, but after I left VA, by the way, my former boss was contacted by someone who was not necessarily part of this investigation, but I believe worked in in the chief of staff's office or related to that, and said, "Hey, why did Peter Rizzo access Kristen Rule's information?" So we know they can find it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, that's, you know, that is a really simple thing to do. I mean, I work for a company that's got, I don't know, 4 or 5,000 employees, a lot of terminals, a lot of people have access to confidential company information. I mean, they can tell within seconds if somebody is into something they're not supposed to be into, and you're contacted. In this day and age, with the technology we have, I find it very difficult to believe that they can't figure out whose terminal, whose password, you know, what person accessed that information. I don't think they're coming clean on that.
Yeah.
The scary part is I know people, sometimes when you deal with the VA, you have to do your own little test so that you can figure out what's really going on. And I had some people search me to see if they really had an audit system in place, and those people have never been contacted for surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I know there really isn't an audit system. I mean,
and they got your information, is that right?
Like, she had him do
Peter
it to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peter was able to provide me all of my information. Now, I've known Peter for a while, but Peter certainly didn't know everything about me that he found in that computer.
Right.
And when we apply for jobs, they can search us, and if you search your name in there and it shows that you reported things to Congress 70-something times, I don't know if you're going to be a first choice.
Yeah. You probably dropped down in the ranks. We should move over to Ken Crandall, since that's kind of his – that was sort of his problem. Does that work? Do you guys have a better plan?
Well,
oh, definitely.
Okay.
Crandall left the agency. He thought he was in the clear.
Yeah. So let's pull Ken in here. So that it's kind of hard. You guys might have to eventually tell us who's speaking, but I figure if we kind of give people a little background, it might make sense. So Ken has a law degree from Temple University, worked at the VA for 3 years before illegally being fired twice after he whistleblew about mail shredding. You believe that? Mail shredding. Yeah, that should be something that someone cared about. Duplicate payments. Taxpayers might care about that. Nepotism. We should all care about that. And improper treatment of employees. He's a Navy veteran, and he plans to spend the rest of his life taking down the VA. No. fighting for the rights of whistleblowers. Sorry, Ken. I changed your bio. And we last spoke with him in 2015. And I do hope people that are interested in this topic will go back. If you click on the links that I've provided under Ken's bio, they have a picture of what his office looked like within, like, a very short period of time of being hired. It looked like a storage room at a shredding, he wasn't supposed to shred them, and he didn't. But, I mean, it looked like when you take your stuff to the shredder and they've got, like, just, like, piles of paper everywhere. And that was his office. And, like, here's your files, Ken. Like, go do your job. And he was brand new, and that's how he started. And it was a joyride from there. 3 years of fun, Ken. So they came after
right.
you when you tried to get a job outside the VA, correct?
Not a job, but I put in an application to be an incredible representative, and
for veteran claims, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So I could talk to VA decision review office, for example, as part of my job, but the chief counsel at the time in May of 2020 denied my application, and he was utilizing my actual emails that I now know were probably stored in this views program or somewhere. And now, remember, I've been gone from the VA since January of 2014.
being a Kroger representative is important for my job. For example, I can't be a team lead because I can't negotiate or talk to VA employees. So I've been handicapped financially because of this denial. And they were utilizing evidence that I didn't even know really existed somewhere.
So you get victimized while you're in there. Then you go back and you try to help veterans from outside the VA, and the stuff inside VA is still blowing back on you.
Right. So, I was working in a law firm, and now I'm part of a company, and we represent veterans on their appeals to the Board of Veterans Appeals, for example. But I can't talk to, I'm an advocate, but I cannot talk to VA employees as part of my job.
Well, that makes it a little difficult.
That's super helpful. Or not.
Right.
Because I guess I'm always kind of thinking, like, well, if I was just hearing this for the first time, like, what would I think? And I might be thinking, well, hey, just leave the VA. Like, it's not like you have to work there. You could go do something else. But it's pretty bad when the policies of the VA follow you out the door, and if you still want to help the zillions of veterans in our country who need veteran service representatives to help them with claims and cases and all these things. For heaven's sakes, you have a law degree. How helpful can you be, right? And they're still blackballing you basically through the secret system.
Still torment to me all these years later, right?
Yeah. Wow. How did you figure out that's probably how it was happening?
Kristen told me about this system, and then Senator Grassley was on the news about holding up a nominee, the number two spot. So I kind of put two and two together with Kristen's help. But I remember when I got the letter in May of 2020, and I didn't pursue an appeal because I thought that you can appeal to the merit system. I'm sorry, you can appeal to the Board of Veterans Appeals. But I thought a judge wouldn't find on my side, so I never appealed, and I was also concerned about a couple of other things. But, it has held up my current career, most certainly.
I guess in most lines of work, if you have bad management or the company's crummy or they treat you poorly or whatever. I don't know. Most of us in our lifetimes have shaken the dust from our sandals, as they say, and walked on. Some of us more than once. But like I can say, even though I've done that a bunch of times, it didn't follow me around. It's like you guys have criminal records, and every time they search you, oh, you're the guy who did. That just
right. And this was the chief counsel at the time in 2020 who signed the letter. You would think that they would have some awareness. Now, wait a minute. Where am I getting this information from?
Yeah.
And is this real? How harmful is this going to be? But they really don't care. I mean, when I worked at the VA, the person and I filed complaints. Well, my evals at the end of last year were all exceptional, every single one of them. So I don't believe that I was a malcontent. I was just trying to do the right thing and report, millions and millions of dollars in duplicate payments, mail shred, and all these discovered to be true based on OIG investigations.
For example,
the mail shredding. Because of the mail shredding that we reported, now everything gets faxed. The mail doesn't go to the individual 56 regional offices. They get faxed to Janesville, Wisconsin. So that was one thing that we did so that stuff doesn't get shredded anymore. There were 96 boxes. I think Kristen told me recently was 96 boxes of mail that were waiting on the loading dock to go to shredding. And we reported it to the undersecretary at the time. She called Philadelphia, and that mail shredding stopped. But they also found another way to fix the problem, which was basically everything gets faxed to one fax number and gets into the veteran's file. So it's a much more effective system than it was before, when they would not look at the mail and just put it in boxes and then after a year send it to shredding.
Yeah, well, and anybody who has either applied for veterans benefits or knows somebody, there are very few people that have had zero contact with this, either personally or tangentially through family or friends. It's a pretty well-known thing that That system takes a long time. It's slow. It's cumbersome. It oftentimes you get denied because they didn't look at your information. There are a million reasons for that, and everybody wants it fixed. And I guess the most important part of this is folks like you are trying to fix it. And so when everyone says, why aren't they fixing it? It's like, well, this is why. This is like part of the problem. But we have to take a really fast break. We'll be right back with our four guests. And Bill had a burning question. He'll have to burn through the break.
All right.
You can find us at We the People Radio.
.us.
Bill's on strike.
Supersonic man out of you. Don't stop me now.
I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball.
Don't stop me now.
If you want to have a good time, just give me a call.
Don't stop me now.
Cause I'm having a good time.
Don't stop me
now. Yes,
I'm
having a good time. I don't want to stop at all.
I need a sign. Let me know you're here. Cause my TV set just keeps it all from being clear. I want a reason for the way things have to be. I need a hand to help build up some kind of hope inside of me. And I'm calling on angels. And I'm calling all you angels.
So, on the Angel Squad here, we have spoken with Kristen Rule. We spoke with Peter Rizzo. We have heard from Ken Crandall. And our fourth player is Ben Krause. It says Benjamin on here, but I think he goes by Ben. I don't know. I'm gonna roll the dice on that one. He's a prominent veterans rights attorney and journalist. And I just sent him a text that had the apostrophe missing out of wheel, but, you know, whatever. He's the founder of DisabledVeterans.org. Dedicated to training veterans and securing their benefits. He's an esteemed authority on military veteran policy. His contributions have been featured in prominent publications like Newsweek, Bloomberg TV, and he's provided testimony to Congress on veterans retraining issues. And that is a biggie. He's a proud disabled U.S. Air Force veteran. Thank you to all of you who served on our show today. Benjamin utilized the Chapter 31 Veterans Readiness and Employment Benefits to graduate magna cum laude from the University of Minnesota Law School. So I think three out of the four of you, I don't know about Peter, are all attorneys on here. Good for you. He now leads Krause Law, PLLC, a firm committed to staunchly representing veterans in diverse legal matters nationwide. And God knows there is a huge need for that. So I think it's Ben. Is it Ben? Or you go back, Benjamin?
Either way, hey, it's fine. You know,
oh,
as long
see.
As I get fed and whatnot, then we're good.
It's like, well, see, you know, when you're married to a William, call me Bill. Like, you know, you start getting kind of sensitive to that. Trying to be nice.
That's how you can tell if they know you or not.
Yeah. If they call and say William, I'm like, they don't know him. Your whole article and everything on here about all of this was really, really helpful. I do hope people go on and read that. It's detailing the issue of privacy rights and abuses by the VA. So there's no way we could possibly go through every facet. But if this is a topic that interests you, that is posted on there. And the article you wrote was fantastic. I was excited that you were going to be on today.
Thanks. Yeah, I think, you know, it's so confusing.
Mm-hmm.
I think in part intentionally, or obfuscated at least, to where the public, and I was just going through some articles while we were talking here on my website from 2016. So this is like what we're seeing with views, and this scandal is really got its roots in what's called the T4NG contract. And so that was like an earth-shattering contract in 2016, and VA was going to get $20+ billion was going to go to these, you know, contractors, and they were going to fix the VA system. It was going to be great. You know, Booz Allen Hamilton was going to lead the way, and there were going to be other ones, and they were going to save the day. It was going to be a silver bullet. And so you fast forward now, within a couple years of that,
we realized immediately, not even a couple years, so by 2018, they were already jumping the shark within VA and not following Privacy Act laws, not following federal notice and comment laws, a variety of, you know, you name it, they violated it, it seems, within VA as far as notifying the public what these companies were doing with veteran data. And we're learning now that it at least appears that they didn't follow a lot of procedures, or at least if they did, they have magically round-filed the documents into some delete file, and so we don't necessarily have these. So we found out within VA's audit that we published that the agency, part of the reason they weren't able to determine, according to them, of course, if there was evidence of data breach is because they just stopped checking the logs, apparently, according to them. Or they just couldn't get in there for that because of some kind of update. They weren't real specific about what it is. But we're going to get to the bottom of that in a FOIA, or we're going to sue their pants off if they happen to not provide that information.
So did they
we're going to get to the bottom.
Did they get the money to do these improvements?
Oh, they not only got the money, we're going to give them another $60 billion.
Oh.
So this year, there's a new contract coming out, T4NG Part 2, because the first one wasn't quite good enough. So now we're going to give them another $60 billion to come right back in and update those same systems that were supposed to be done the right way the first time before. And I think what we kind of noticed is that a lot of these companies that were part of this contract got gobbled up. And so now, I haven't done the numbers yet, but it looks like a lot of the companies were purchased by Accenture, by Booz Allen Hamilton, by CACI, and a few others. And so, like Liberty Solutions, which was the veteran-owned business that owned the contract that's at the center of the View scandal, I believe got bought by, I think, Booz Allen Hamilton, that now owns them. I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure Booz Allen owns that company. And so we just saw, as we're kind of seeing this evolution, so now Booz Allen owns the contracts, apparently, for the Veteran Benefits Administration. Of course, we have the head of the Veteran Benefits Administration, Josh Jacobs, was pushed through for nomination and confirmation through cloture, and Senator Chuck Schumer was really pushing for him, got him in. Well, his background is at Booz Allen Hamilton before he was a contractor and consultant in different capacities. And now he runs VBA. Well, now we're seeing a bunch of scandals pop out. And so there's a question at the VA. Will VA, who's going to investigate those scandals? The
right.
VA?
Yeah.
Can't wait. That's going to be exciting.
Yeah, yeah. They'll get
popcorn,
to the bottom of it.
You know, friends. Yeah, no problem. You know, yeah. No big deal.
We have a plan for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they got the millions of dollars to
billions,
fix the system.
Billions with a B.
Yeah. Okay.
Billions with a B.
Billions and so these companies got that money and basically just didn't do anything.
Well, no, they did stuff. They made probably dashboards and databases and websites, and they did things.
Mm.
They just maybe didn't follow, like VA didn't ensure that the systems were, you know, maybe being created in a way that VA could understand. What we're learning is that a lot of the companies are, with a couple exceptions, of course, are, you know, like Salesforce is doing a bang-up job, you know, doing this and that, international company. But they're looking at the VA, and they're like, VA can't figure out how to use our software. Why are they still a client of ours, you
right.
know? And so Salesforce, if I were them, I'd be a little bit concerned. You know, it's going to get me pulled into a congressional hearing to try to explain why our Salesforce system is being misused by a bunch of these, you know, VA goofballs.
Right.
And Salesforce, like, why are they not maintaining the log files?
Yeah, and they're used by lots of big corporations. I mean, Salesforce is
right.
very, very popular with big corporations.
Oh, 100%. You know, and so at the end of the day, you know, VA tries to say that these systems as built lacked log files. Well, that may get some of these companies in trouble with the False Claims Act or something like that, if true, but odds are it's not true. And the stuff is probably there. VA is just trying to expedite the people that they want in position of authority
right.
for the next couple years through the election cycle, and they want to get them in to kind of finalize whatever, you know, shenanigans they have going on behind the VA Iron Curtain there.
Well, why would Salesforce build a program and not have log files? I mean, that just doesn't make sense.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. I mean, they have log files for everything else. I mean,
absolutely.
You do anything it's patently absurd.
Yeah.
So it leads me to believe only that the VA just kind of doesn't want people to know.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that, you know, the Senate's not going to call them out on it. And at the end of the day, that's what that is. They just don't think the Senate knows enough to figure that out.
That's always what they count on. If they wind it around and make it complicated enough and then make some excuses. See, there's always this, I guess the one thing we have to really point out, and that's why they keep getting money, because if you ever, the way Congress controls federal agencies is with budget. I mean, that's a really, really big tool. Anybody who's ever raised a stepkid knows how that works. Once you get to the point where you can control the money that comes in, if you have another parent out there who feeds money into the system, you just get your legs cut out from under you.
Yeah.
So here's Congress tries to do different things, but what happens if they talk about we're going to curtail something with VA, then all of a sudden all the veterans advocate groups go out, tell the public, Congress hates veterans, none of them serve, they're all monsters, you know, and then phones blow up and everybody goes, oh God, I guess I better give them the money. So they know that they have, I don't know, increases forever. I don't think they've ever taken a budget cut. How do you reel that in?
Well,
right?
Their classic answer is, well, you know, I don't have that information right now. I'll get back to you on that. And you know, they never do.
Have you watched a congressional hearing?
I have watched a few. Yeah.
Yeah. So you think, is there any end in sight for that? Just out of curiosity from what you see? Because I'm thinking no, but I don't want to be a hater.
Well, I mean, we'll see. I mean, with inflation and everything, I suppose the next, you know, T4NG part 3 is going to be $100 billion, you know. So maybe if that's what, you know, one classifies as an end, it'll probably just be more, you know, money jammed down this. You know, because they got to appear that they're doing something, so we throw some dollar signs at it, some extra zeros. Oh, this is going to be really good. Oh, man. You know, at the end of the day, the problem is here. We have veteran data. We have whistleblower data.
Yeah.
It must be protected. Sensitive personal information must be properly protected. And we know that VA, for the longest time, has been classified as one of the most corrupt federal agencies in the federal government. So why on earth would we ever trust them to do their own audit like they did here? To, you know, protect whistleblower data. All that data should be pulled out of the VA. I have no idea why they have access to it. You know, given how corrupt the agency is, how much money has been shelled into that, they should definitely have a separate entity. And, you know, I normally would hope that the Office of Special Counsel would be able to do it, but it doesn't appear that they have the wherewithal either to chase VA around, because VA continues to thumb their nose at that agency as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, we have system records. We have all these other checks and balances that are supposed to be there for privacy protection, and the agency just doesn't do it. You know, case in point, Liberty had they put this in for the White House. It all started with the White House complaint hotline that President Trump put in back in 2017. Liberty IT had a pamphlet on their website. It's still there. And it says, system records notice is forthcoming. That was in 2018. VA didn't do anything until 2022 when they finally realized, oh, whoopsie-doo, we don't have all the right documents in place.
A little oversight.
That's illegal. That's against the law.
That's
a criminal offense if you're knowingly doing it, punishable with a fine and a misdemeanor at a minimum. And VA just, whatever.
And then even when they get caught, though, they get caught doing this stuff. I mean, they get caught busted on all sorts of stuff. And nothing, you know, nothing really ultimately happens to them.
They move people around. Come on.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You get transferred and get a bonus. We've got to take a quick break for news, and we'll be back with our four guests. We're talking about VA scandals and inside stuff. I think you'll like it. You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Pay attention, you be worried too. You better pay attention, for this world you love so much might just kill you. I could be wrong now, but I don't think so, cause it's a jungle out there. It's a jungle out there. It's a jungle out there.
Welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape has everything you could possibly want when it comes to John Deere. Go up and see them. They've got tractors, implements, you name it. They're full parts and service. If you've got a machine that needs to be worked on, they're the guys you want to talk to. They got a great staff out there in the service department and can fix anything. Go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Or you can give them a call, 530-226-9226, or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com. Yeah, I like that.
Nice.
Yeah, nice.
Nice.
Won't nice. Forget that, will you?
Nah. Yeah. Nice, William. Call me Bill. So, all right. We're talking about the VA. We haven't done a show on VA for a while. And so for people who are interested in veterans issues, if you go to wethepeopleradio.us and you look along the top, one of the tabs is veterans. And so all the shows we do on this topic, I group under that so you don't have to scroll through, you know, 14 years of shows. You can just pop on there. And the shows we have done with the folks that are on with us today, Kristen Rule, Peter Rizzo, Ken Crandall, and Ben Krause. Any shows we've done with Kristen and Ken in the past are on there. And then this show, of course, will be posted commercial-free a little bit later today. It's September 10th, 2023. And we hope you will share this because it's really important when you hear that, you know, a lot of times when people hear, you know, Congress is holding hearings about the VA, everybody thinks like, oh, everybody at the VA is bad. You know, nobody cares. Nobody's working on it. Nothing's ever going to get fixed. And it's really important to know that there are people out there who do care, who know a lot about the system, and are willing to use their personal, you know, time, expertise, and treasure. In a lot of cases, it costs them their job. It costs them a lot to do this. And it's mentally grueling when you're constantly in a system that's a big pain and you're working with people who are victimizing you constantly. I'm not sure. I'm cut out necessarily for that.
Well, isn't VA?
I'm the oldest of five children. We fought pretty hard. I'm not sure I can.
Doesn't VA have one of the largest budgets of any of the federal agencies?
I'm sure they're right below defense. Does anybody on here know that? I don't know that off the top.
Yep,
of my head.
They are. They also have the highest number of employees in the civilian side of government.
Oh, yeah, because when people say that all the time, I always kind of laugh. I'm like, well, we can't fix the Forest Service, and that's like 30,000 people, and the VA is like pushing 400,000 in cemetery benefits and medical, last time I checked. It's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
fairly large.
So, yeah, go ahead. Who's gonna go fix that, like one person? So one of our guests, Ben Krause, we left off with him at the end of the last hour, and he is the founder of DisabledVeterans.org. He leads Krause Law, firm committed to staunchly representing veterans in legal matters nationwide. So an important voice, and he's also a journalist. Are you a journalist and then an attorney, then a lawyer, or a lawyer and then a journalist? How'd that go?
Well, so I started off as a journalist who became an attorney.
Okay.
And then now I spend most of my time representing veterans against the agency and doing investigations. But
and then writing really, really good articles about the bad things they do. So it's kind of
Yeah, when I have time, I don't have as much time as I used to. And it seems like the need is increased. You know, the bigger the budget is, the more the problems are, it seems. And so, you know, I wish I had more time to cover it more frequently than I do. But it's, So I was a journalist first, became an attorney second.
Okay. Well, one of the, just full disclosure, I'm on a kind of a five-way chat on text with all four of you while we're doing this. So we can kind of make plans as we go. And Kristen had suggested to emphasize that in the view system, they can see management emails as well as the other emails of people under our name. Maybe you could touch on that a little bit before we move into our
that just seems bizarre to me. I mean, I can't access my, you know, president's emails, you know, as an employee. I don't know how they can't fix that. That seems pretty simple.
Well, that would be a question for Peter or Kristen. I think they may know more about that than I do.
Kristen, since you were the big exposer, what'd you find?
Well, I think
you know, when Peter showed me the things that were in there about me, one of the things that made me the most sad was when you search my name, other people's stuff comes up. And I had helped some people out in cases against the VA, like I represented them, some people when they lost their jobs, Ken, for example. So under my name, there's stuff with his name in it. So if somebody reads something about me, well, then they inadvertently see that, you know, Ken's involved. And the other interesting thing is then you can see, since it is their system of correspondence, you'll see, like, where I write to the secretary and literally beg for him to respond or help us or care. And then you see when they get it, what they do with it. So, I mean, I don't want everybody that works at the VA seeing what I wrote to them, seeing how they decided to handle my communications. I mean, you literally can see what I wrote to the IG, and then you see the IG talking about me. To me, that's such a violation. I didn't say a word about this. We're on month 15. I kept quiet. I tried to go through inner channels. I tried to handle this quietly because I knew if this was a public matter, people who had access to views were going to look me up, and then that's even worse. So I tried for all this time to get my things taken out of there, but every time I would have somebody check, the stuff would still be in there. So I was trying to be quiet and solve this internally, but today I'm here because I want people to know that if you write to the VA, as of now, there's a report that's going to come out that's going to verify that the system is not secure. So if you write to them a correspondence, it might be mark sensitive, it might not. If somebody looks at it, you might know or you might not. And to me, for someone who tries to handle problems and write things that are important, I'm afraid to write any more emails because I don't want everybody seeing everything that I write. Well, so I think I want them to do an external investigation, not the VAIT people investigate it. Right now, there's enough proof that there's a serious problem, and it's not just about me and Ken and everybody on this call. A lot of people's information are here that we've seen. There's things about people that I saw that told on me under my name that I didn't even know they told on me. So things like that is ridiculous. And, you know, then I think about the person, and I'm like, what the heck? I shouldn't know that, and nobody at the VA should be able to see any of that. And I'm here because, after all this time, nobody's fixing it in a meaningful manner. Like, I'm not satisfied that it is fixed. And at the rate we're going, I'm not satisfied it will ever be fixed the right way.
So, just, I mean, and this is a total opinion deal, but if we could do like, a quick vote, do you guys think they're not fixing it because they can't? Well, I mean, okay, I'm using the word can't in a VA sort of way. Like, they just can't get their act together to fix it, or because somehow it suits their plans to basically out everybody, and in an attempt, because if I was a bad guy, this would be a great way to silence people like you and to make other people, I mean, this is kind of like what the mob does, right? You go rub somebody out because it's like, oh, go ahead and talk, but, you know, it's not going to go well for you. Is it to silence people, or is it just because they're incompetent?
Aaron, I have to err on the first example that you provided, or the first scenario. I don't think that, first of all, I don't think that they cared that they knew that there was a problem.
Oh,
we found that through the
that
report.
Option.
They knew, they knew it was a problem. They didn't care because no one had blown them in, number one. And number two, what they're finding now that we did blow them in, that they can't fix it, or at least Salesforce is telling them that they need to buy another component in order to fix this problem. So thank you, Salesforce, for helping secure this information like you should have from the beginning.
Yeah, you'd think that would be part of the testing. Like, if you're a developer, you think, well, now, hey, it's kind of like cars, you know. Hey, they're going to be big and they're going to go fast. What if they get in a crash? Should we make plans for that, or should we just assume everybody stays on the road? I mean, how silly.
Well, then, right. And you look at the Ralph Nader situation with the, I don't remember what kind of car it was, completely unsafe, shouldn't be on the road.
Oh, yeah, Ralph Nader.
Everybody knew about it.
Yeah.
They knew and did it anyways. But one of my favorite examples that I came across in Views was a letter from Congressman Rob Woodall to VA after this congressman was contacted by two sisters from who worked at the same VA facility. And the letter basically says that so-and-so is from Loganville, Georgia, have contacted me concerning an issue at the Department of Veterans Affairs. I've attached information which was provided to me by these individuals. According to so-and-so, this is their official congressional complaint. Our office received the enclosed information from this person as a whistleblower. They would like anonymity. Now, their name is throughout this letter. The attachments that the member provided were included in the Views case file. And the subject line of the Views case was used their names.
Yeah, there
and
you go.
Referenced that it's a whistleblower complaint.
Yeah, you could never search that by, you know, if their name's in the attachment.
I found it by searching the word whistleblower. Holy cow.
Oh, you're kidding. That's terrific protection.
It's incredible. Yeah. So that's the type of lax controls that we have on this system, and why Kristen is so passionate about folks being mindful that correspondence, first of all, every single member of Congress needs to stop requiring constituents to fill out a form with their social security numbers, dates of birth, home address, etc. If in order for them to contact VA, they can still contact on behalf of the constituent using the constituent's name. If VA needs more information, they will ask for it. But don't give it to them just to give it to them.
They tell them that they tell them that they have to have it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's why Congress has to put an end to it.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that, Aaron.
Just so people know, because I'm thinking about all the people who filled the form out. They're sitting out there going, oh, my God, I filled the form out. That's because
Peter saw that form about me. Like, Peter could have stole my identity in 3 minutes because he had everything down to my signature. And he just said, like, oh, my gosh, is this your stuff? And I was like, holy crap. And I wrote a lot of letters and I went to a lot of Congress people. So then it bothers me that I don't know how many people took a picture of that paper or any of the other papers.
Well, and that's all supposedly sent through an encrypted system to the congressional liaisons who are supposed to do the research and get back to them on the case that's been filed. That's all supposed to be like some top secret thing because
they just send the attachment on and that's...
No, the congressional offices use an encrypted email address to the liaison. And if you try to contact them without that information, they won't talk to you. They will go back through that system and require you to use it. So the idea that members of Congress think that they are sending their constituents information through an encrypted system, and it comes back. You have to have a password to open it when the response comes back, which leads everybody to believe that that's, like, on the up and up.
Secure.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, why would you not think
that? Well, anything but.
Another funny example, but serious example, is Peter and I originally... We first tried to handle this, like you said, internally with the chief staff's office and anybody that we could get to listen and possibly realize it's a serious problem and help, like, or begin to fix it. So at one point, we had to go to the House Committee of Veterans Affairs. Early on, you know, we reached out to them for some help. Well, they were going to have a meeting with VA, and they said, we'll call you later once we tell you what time the meeting is. Well, Peter sees in Views what time the meeting is. So when they call us, tell us what time our meeting is. Peter, you could tell him how it went. Peter said, we already know. It's, you know, whatever, this time p.m. because we saw it in Views. So it's just an example of it. It's not just about us.
Yeah. Well, the idea that in this day and age with all the identity theft, I mean, that just ruins people. So, I mean, there's just so many things on this front. You know, you've got the... If somebody comes forward and wants to do the right thing, they're completely disincentivized for doing that. They were before, even before this was even discovered, because always when people come forward and try to be a whistleblower, it turns into a big thing, which it isn't supposed to. Make all these rules about it and everything. Good Lord.
Yeah, the whistleblower protection doesn't always work out.
No. So, what do you guys...
That's what I wrote to them were in there, the Office of Accountability and Whistleblower Protection. Peter found emails that I wrote to them in there as well.
Wow. So much for that. I don't know. It's interesting. It's hard to say. It's hard to say how this ever turns the corner, because everything with those guys takes a million years to make change. And you know, this is another one of those cases where it shouldn't be hard to explain this, but you've gotten kind of no traction out there with the folks who have the ability to fix it, right? On the committee, or are they pretty sensitive to it? I know Grassley has been listening, but...
Senator Grassley has hands down been the most staunch supporter of our efforts, and we're grateful for that. We truly are.
Yeah.
One of the problems that I realized early on was the Office of General Counsel itself is not particularly competent, because, for example, they fired 5,000 people based on a new law that was really directed at the senior executive service people, and the chief counsel apparently advised the secretary, whoever, back in 2017 or 2018, they fired 5,000 people without due process. Now they're just having to pay those people apparently $100 million in back pay because of bad advice from the OGC. Chris and I talked about it at the time, and we said, well, they're not giving these people due process, and number one, no due process. Number two, that law was not created to attack the average worker. It was to go after the SESers. So OGC itself is not very competent.
Yeah, and people think, well, I'm just going to, you know, I hear just citizens say, well, I'm going to contact the inspector general. Like, that's like, you know, going to solve everything. And I think what they don't realize is, a lot of that goes back to the agency, and then the agency just figures out a way to kind of cover it, bury it, or cover it and bury it, maybe probably both. We have to take a really quick break.
Hold on to your hat, Aaron.
Okay.
Because we did that.
Hold that thought, and let's do it when we come back, since I was not paying attention. We were being charity. So I did find a fun song, kind of, you know, I was thinking if the VA, like, became a musical, maybe. We'll be back with our whistleblower guest. You're listening to We the People at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Blame, you're about to get it, I'm about to take it. Yeah, we're going down in flames. What can we do? We're only human, everybody makes mistakes. There's more than enough to go around. Blame, who said it first? Who did it hurt? What the hell does it change? One thing you should always find, you gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line. When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon. We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
Since we're out here in rural America, I guess you should see how we roll. It's all whiskey for my men and beer for my horses out here. You should come and visit. It'd be fun. All right. So should we move to our friend Tanya before we run out of time? Who would like the auspicious honor to do that? I think, Ben, you got nominated on the texting link that you're...
What?
You're gonna pull the ripcord on Tanya?
Oh man, you guys got me! Holy cow!
Oh, right. You weren't paying attention, were you there?
Apparently not. I was okay. I was researching something else, so that is true. I was all the, you know, beer for your horses thing. I was like, okay. Anyway, so let's talk about Tanya. So. Here's my take as a disabled veteran. So I'm not just an attorney, journalist, blah, blah, blah. I'm a disabled vet. My stuff is in VA's systems, too. And so I have skin in the game, just like Ken Crandall. and just like apparently every whistleblower that ever blew the whistle. And, you know, let's not also forget about every member of Congress that may be culpable in the sense that they were telling or telling whistleblowers and veterans complaining, which I think we should also be classified as whistleblowers, but we're not, that our communications to them were confidential. Of course, now we know that they're not, and they go into this view system. And so if anybody does want to look them up, or at least this was the, you know, the case of less than half a year ago, apparently it was pretty easy to go look up and snoop on a veteran if they happen to be part of a disruptive behavior committee or some other kind of thing. And now we know with Mr. Crandall's, you know, unfortunate situation, we know that they apparently keep this as a searchable database, which in my mind harkens to what we've been seeing a lot of in the press with respect to the FBI and other three-letter agencies and their 702 database that they jump into and dig around about Americans if they happen to see fit to do so, where we know that in Congress, and apparently Congress has highlighted problems at the FBI and lack of accountability, where many apparently many FBI agents and their contractors in law enforcement were, you know, snooping on Americans and shouldn't have been. And
right.
In many instances of tens of thousands of unlawful searches. But maybe they don't have a log file either. Wouldn't that be kind of an interesting coincidence? So, you know, I've always wondered about the interfacing of all these agencies because they've been developing this, you know, monstrous fusion system that just, you know, sucks in your data of all kinds. And whatever they want to find, if it's a funny tweet that you sent out 10 years ago and now you want to, you know, become a VA-accredited attorney, well, maybe that'll hold you up. You know, maybe 10 years ago you said something mean and you hurt somebody's feelings. You know, you called them Dirty D or something like that. You know, I don't know anyone that would do that.
Wait,
but,
what if her name was Rubens? Would she still be Dirty D?
I don't know.
That
maybe.
That might have happened.
I've heard that happened. I don't know.
We might have had that on the radio. My God, that sounds so familiar.
It could have occurred. And so, anyway, so enter Tanya Bretcher. Tanya Bretcher is a 20-year Army veteran. She was trained in the DINFOS, which is the Department of Defense and Pentagon and Army's training for people to get involved with propaganda, public relations, a variety of different things. And then there's different ways that that's carved out. But we know that for a long time she was trained in that, started off enlisted, then became an officer, I believe. And we don't really pick up on her, at least when you do searches using different tools, making comments about a lot of different things, where she then went on to work for, while in the Army, Department of Defense, and it was the Detainee Affairs. So the Office of Detainee Affairs, when you guys may remember, there were detainees allegedly being abused and at Gitmo, and she was one of the individuals who was the public mouthpiece of the DOD whenever these abuses were coming up with the ACLU and whatever. So she was the public face of this. And so she is a skilled public relations or propagandist, whatever you want to call it, for the federal government and for our military, then went on to the to work for the National Security Council at the White House and then worked at the White House underneath the Obama administration with current Secretary Dennis McDonough. Then he was the chief of staff at the NSC that then ran the White House's chief of staff. So she's, you know, kind of mirrored him at least a little bit. She came on board in the when Biden started. She was a consultant and then became the chief of staff. And so what's interesting about her elevation is that she really doesn't have any appreciable management skills that I'm aware of. Prior to a brief stint in a representative's office back before Biden won, and then at the VA when they put her in as chief of staff. And so since that point, she's been running the show. She's responsible for views, which is the system we've been talking about, and she's responsible for the correspondence between the secretary's office and pretty much everybody else outside of that. And so now she's been selected because of her bang-up job on views and everything else, Cerner, apparently, we're going to have her fix everything, and she's going to be the new DepSec of the VA.
What could go wrong?
Because she's done such a great job.
Yeah.
So now her vote will be tomorrow, or it'll start, they'll kick off the cloture tomorrow to then vote on her on the floor of the Senate, just like they did for Josh Jacobs. And, of course, keep in mind with him, immediately after he was selected and Schumer said he was a great fit, and look at how great a job he did on the PACT Act, now we find out, oh, there's all these backlogs, and, oh, there's all these other system problems where veterans aren't getting paid their benefits for years because of these IT fixes, you know, these billions of dollars in IT fixes, and magically veterans just can't seem to get their benefits on time. Now Ms. Bratcher is going to be responsible for fixing all of that with no appreciable management or leadership experience leading an organization. I have found no example anywhere where she has led as the chief operating officer any organization of any size, much less one that is the second largest organization in the federal government with the most employees of any federal agency and a budget of over $200 billion. So she's going to be the COO for that and can't fix views, which should be a small issue. Over 18 months, they've known about it since 2019, which means that she's known about it since she started in 2021 because she's responsible for correspondence. Then the whistleblowers brought up the issue last year. They've slow walked it until her, you know, they're hoping her nomination gets through because they want her to be the first female DepSec, and it's historic.
Oh, and, of course,
yes,
that's
for a lot
important.
Of reasons. She's going to be one of the first DepSecs to ever get to that position with no appreciable experience. Very historic indeed. You know, they can't find anyone else who might have better, you know, more experience leading anything. I mean, bring in a female general with a 4-star or something like that, you know. If that's really all you're after, you know, bring in somebody that led something as a leader. You know, and we look at her experience as VA chief of staff. You know, Donald Remy, who was the DepSec, confirmed DepSec before her, quietly stepped down in April after totally debauched Cerner problem, and they just couldn't get in front of it. And you know, the only thing I can think of that Bratcher's going to bring to the table is apparently more propaganda and spin. And that's what we're going to get. She's got no MBA. I just don't see it. I don't understand her expertise aside from spin. So, you know, we'll see a lot of spin about a lot of scandals.
Has Grassley had his shot at exposing her lack of performance?
Well, so, yes. So he had first voiced his concerns pretty early because she was involved. This is right when she was actually nominated because he had already objected to Joshua Jacobs' nomination and held that up because she was involved with that because her, you know, we found emails that had been released through a FOIA with her name on it going back to 2021. So, and those were most likely in views. And so we have seen Senator Grassley tracking this. And when she was selected, you know, he objected pretty early on to make sure that, you know, we understood the scope of her involvement in the other whistleblower scandals, which we never got to the bottom of. And now it's this issue. And he's been all over it. But as we understand it, the majority in the Senate, at least the Veterans Affairs Committee, are apparently willing to turn a blind eye to her malfeasance. And again, she's the leader. She sat up there and essentially told Senator Tester and everybody else that the buck's going to stop with her and she's going to be a great leader. But then you turn to the views thing and it's like, oh, it's somebody else's fault. Not my fault. I kicked it over to the IT to investigate, you know, and it's the IT's own system, right? So I'm sure they're going to find a big nothing burger. What's amazing, though, about the IT report is that they still found some stuff, but man, did they ever spin. I've never seen a longer introduction to a document ever. I mean, 7 pages to introduce a 20-page report and, you know, to completely obfuscate, like, what was found.
Yeah, so they had this 7-page introduction, but glossed over any of the bad stuff that was actually in the report.
Well, when I started dealing with the Inspector General stuff, I remember the first thing I was told is, hey, look, don't hold out too much hope on all this, because all these investigative reports come out and they say at the end that they need more training and more money and maybe more supervision. And I was like, oh, my God, that can't be true. I mean, they came from private industry. I'm thinking that's mental. That can't be real. So I subscribed. I had a like a Google you know, I had a Google hit that would pull every VA Inspector General report. Just, oh, I think I did it for like 2 years. And every time one came out, I just like zoomed to the end. I didn't even look at the topic. I zoomed to the end. And they all said the same thing. And I'm like, you know what? We're not great at like the accountability, and you do bad things and you pay for that. It just seems to get buried. I guess I have a question too that I guess Kristen and Peter have been working with Chuck Grassley, Senator Grassley, for like months, which is good. I mean, he's obviously listening, but it's one guy, right?
Right. And, you know, this is Peter Rizzo talking.
Hello,
Senator
Peter
Grassley's
Rizzo.
Office has been really great for Kristen and I. Respectful, responsive, and on top of this issue. And Senator Grassley put a hold on Ms. Bratcher's nomination, and then was subsequently joined by six or seven other senators in that regard. So there's a reason that her nomination hearing was held months ago, and the Senate has not yet voted. Finally, Senator Schumer has required the vote to happen on Monday at the at 5:30, I believe it is. But Senator Grassley, throughout his career, has been a staunch supporter of whistleblowers. He's changed laws to be more favorable to whistleblowers, and to know that we have his ear and that other senators are listening to him and sharing in his concerns is great, but he's on one side of the aisle.
Exactly.
This is not a partisan issue.
It shouldn't be.
It shouldn't, and that's what's so scary about it. It is a partisan issue because of, you know, this is the nature of our politics, but it absolutely should not be. And so listeners who, you know, are actually listening to this live, please consider contacting your senators and demanding that they vote no on her nomination come Monday.
Because this is going to go on 9/11, right?
Right.
Yeah. And the note that that I got from you here, that VA just fired its executive secretariat over the Views issue, but they blamed that person for Brashear's failures. So
correct.
They're kind of
this
setting up a plausible out for her.
That's right. We have gotten through our channels internally at VA that this person was also quietly dismissed, but it was for reasons related to Views. And so instead of Ms. Bratcher taking responsibility, the buck stops with her. No, actually, she just points her finger and makes other people disappear. And so that's not going to change the culture of VA. The tone at the top
nope.
will stay what it is.
And that's why it stays that way. And you know what? I know you guys are going to find this shocking. I found a song for that, too. Huh. Imagine that.
Imagine that.
Found a couple of them, actually. So we've got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our friends, the whistleblowers. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at
wethepeopleradio.us.
I'm going to do bad things. Like it's nothing. Being bad has never felt so good. I'm gonna do bad things. You won't see it coming. Watch your step. I've been thinking of doing bad things to you.
that was the second most favorite song for the hearing. But Thinking Bad Things was probably the best.
Nice.
You know, we take our problems seriously around here, but honestly, without a little bit of fun, everybody's head just explodes and nothing gets done. So we've got like 15 minutes, and someone suggested here on the chat here that maybe we should talk about some positive outcomes. I know, Robertson, you're laughing. Who would like to tackle that? Oh, Peter. Peter is the first responder.
So,
Peter, you have drawn the short straw. You can bring the positive income.
There you go. I think, you know, positive outcomes are, number one, that the views situation, the security vulnerability that exists within VA is now at least known to Congress, and now that we're on the show, to the public. And I guess the second positive outcome would be that VA might fix a problem. Maybe.
Oh, sorry.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm
but kind of, they'll try.
I'm like, probably got a song for that too. I don't know. You have to. I mean, what do you guys think? You've worked there. Some of you still work there. Some of you don't work there. What do you think it's going to take to move the needle on stuff like this, or does it just go on and on and on and on and just morph into something else? Because it seems like everything I've ever dealt with them, and I have never worked in VA, but I've worked on a lot of VA stuff, and it seems like they just sort of they're really good at sort of taking it off the front burner and then like moving it to the back burner, you know, so it doesn't seem like it's boiling over, but it's secretly happening in the background. What do you think?
No, I think you're absolutely correct. I think really the only way for things to change would be for the Senate not to vote Ms. Bradshaw in as Deputy Secretary. What kind of a message would that send? It would send a message that folks are not going to get away with this nonsense and that they may or will be held accountable. Short of that happening, there are no consequences, because nobody ever seems in leadership at VA to take ownership of the problems that they have created or that they are responsible for. And many times it's the wrong people who are blamed. There are scapegoats created to protect the elite, and that's the most unfortunate thing.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that the people at the top who are responsible for the underlings pass the buck down, and they're never accountable. But they pick somebody else out that, you know, oh, I put them in charge. Well, they are still responsible. They're at the top. They need to know what's going on, and they do know what's going on, and they're not doing anything about it. And it's kind of shocking to me that they can pass the buck downstream and nobody says anything about it. That seems a little odd.
You think it's just because, I mean, a huge percentage of it is people don't know. But what about folks inside the VA? We haven't actually asked you guys that. What about people who work inside the VA? When this came out, I'm kind of guessing that if you worked in the VA, people got kind of curious about their own information being made available.
Scared, right?
Yeah,
well, it didn't get out too far. I mean, it was just a couple of people going to Ms. Bradshaw's office, going to the Office of Special Counsel. We also, as I mentioned earlier, went to the Inspector General, and that was the most interesting episode of this entire saga, because they weren't terribly concerned. They knew it was a problem because the Inspector General doesn't use views for that reason, because they know it's not secure. So that should send up a red flag. But second, they were most curious in interviewing me for 2 hours or whatever it was about knowing who I told about views and its security vulnerabilities. And by that time, I had also spoken to Jackie Garrick of Whistleblowers of America. And she was on your show on July 17th last year, 2022, talking about views.
Yes.
And so she mentioned the vulnerabilities of that system. She talked about it, and I was able to say to them, well, actually, it was broadcast on a radio show recently.
we're always good for that. You need to get it out there and then, you know, burn them a little bit. Yeah, we're good for that. But what happened? What happened as a result of that?
Nothing. Zero consequence. I had never heard from the Inspector General again. There was no follow-up. And my colleagues heard nothing of it after that either. So I assume it's dead.
Mm. Wow.
Part of the issue...
Yeah, go ahead.
Part of the issue with the VA Inspector General is that they use the value, whatever they can recover from a case, that value is what they use to determine whether or not to apply 2-3-1 investigator to the case or even bother touching it at all.
Oh.
Because if they cannot recoup multiple times the amount of money spent in personnel hours on an investigation or an audit, et cetera, they are very unlikely, unless a member of Congress directs them or asks them to do it, or maybe the secretary directs them, they're very unlikely to pursue it. I've had cases where I found, you know, upwards of $3.5 million in fraud likely occurred when I was an employee there. I'm a certified fraud examiner and certified auditor. I reported it to the Inspector General in one particular instance, and they kicked it back to me. They said, we're not really interested.
Yeah, what's the rate of return on that?
That part is really crazy. So, and it's interesting because that is what I was going to ask you is structurally, I think it's because I've told people this before. I mean, they've got a really minor amount of staff in the inspector. And I think it's kind of important to point out for folks who don't deal with this stuff a lot. Every department has an inspector general. It isn't just one inspector general for the whole entire government. They work, so you have the VA Inspector General, but when you have 400,000 employees and a massive, massive budget, and then you look at, you know, I forget, the number was really, really low in the Inspector General's office. Do you happen to know it off the top of your head?
Well, I know that they receive upwards of 40,000 complaints a year from employees and veterans.
Right.
And they have, they investigate 2,000 maybe a year.
Okay. Wow.
So 40,000 down to 2,000. So they're very selective.
Yeah, and they don't have the huge staff. So when you just kind of roll the numbers on that, it's like, okay, they're kind of outgunned a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not to give them an out, but all of that goes back into the hopper. And you look at who's doing the investigating. Oops.
Well, and then,
you hamstring the investigators. Kind of unlikely you'll get investigated.
When there's never any consequence when this stuff is brought up, nobody is punished. Nobody is really made to answer for anything. How is that going to help facilitate any change? They know nothing will be done about it. I think that's
well. Here, I just pulled up the VA OIG website here, and it says reports and recommendations published within the last 12 months, 137 reports, 674 recommendations. Based on the reading I've done, they all say they need more money, more training, and more supervision, and $325 million. How does that track with what you have seen, Peter?
It's about par for the course, but that's just it. They're tracking the amount of money they've recovered.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? In the case of views, they're not going to get any money.
That's right. So nobody's going to look at it.
They're protecting. Yeah, they're protecting veterans. You're protecting whistleblowers. So that's not sexy to them because there's no financial recovery. You're actually preventing someone else from falling victim to a financial crime.
Yeah, that's wildly screwed up.
In the cards for them. Yeah.
Wildly screwed up. Huh. And I think that's something that flies under the radar on deals like this, because they think, oh, there's something bad going on. Somebody's going to run in there and investigate it. Can somebody outside of the Inspector General's office look at that? I mean, I realize they haven't had the best track record lately, but are these things like FBI doesn't work on this? Like, does anybody else work on this stuff?
Absolutely. Of course, the name is slipping my mind. They're a legislative GAO, my favorite auditing.
The Government
Enterprise.
Accountability Office? Oh, yes. Them.
Yes, absolutely.
And
guess
idea.
Who can direct them to do things? Congress. If any member of Congress said, hey, GAO, please investigate Views, guess what? They would do it. They're obligated to.
So after working with the senator all this time, has he gone to them about that?
I don't believe yet. And part of the reason is that GAO is so thorough in its reports and so careful to ensure that it does not publish anything that is premature, that the time frame needed to get something from them would be far longer than what we need for Monday's vote, for example.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, so they can't turn it around in time to make the investigative information meaningful.
Correct.
That's terrific. We're like kind of all bad news today, aren't we, a little bit? Is there anything, I realize I'm, hey, in 3 minutes, is there anything we've missed? Everybody on the line? Lightning round?
I don't have anything more to add, but...
I think you should.
Ken, anything?
I would like my stuff removed from Views because I'm a veteran.
We'll get on that.
I'm sure they've got my health care information in there.
That's Ken Crandall, Crandall. Take his stuff out right now.
Right.
Well, I mean, but if you're talking about Tanya Bradshaw, I mean, she said that it's not in there, so don't worry about it. You're good.
Oh, that's right. So don't search Kristen Rule either, because there's nothing for her in there. There's nothing to see here. Move along.
No. Nothing to see there. If you look up exactly her name, but if you look at other stuff, you know, it may pop up, but who knows?
Well, the report says that nothing is still, there are still vulnerabilities and things are not protected. So she testified to Congress in writing saying that things were protected. And yet the report that came out a couple weeks later completely contradicted that testimony.
Wow. Yeah. That's that seems, you know, unfortunately kind of par for the course. And as far as okay, so you're out there, you're a veteran and you're thinking, I got a problem with my whatever claim, my medical care, my information. They might want to press on, say, AmVets, VFW, American Legion, some of those groups. Mm-hmm. Where do they fall in all this?
Exactly. And VSOs, Veteran Service Organizations, really, this is an opportunity for them to shine. They are organized. They can really hold people's feet to the fire. They're constantly in communication with VA and certainly engaged with the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. But there's nothing preventing them from contacting every senator and demanding better.
Well, they have offices all over the whole country in every state, so
right.
That
mm-hmm.
Should pretty much run the gamut, huh?
So yeah.
If anybody has any questions or any of that stuff, please get a hold of us on through the website. All our information's there, the email and all that, and we'll get you what you need, because I'm not going to publish Well, shoot, I don't have to publish all you guys' information. Hell, all we have to do is find somebody at the VA to look you up.
Nice.
You find everything out. Silly, why would I put it on our website? But no, we want to make that available. So when this hearing is happening on Monday, September the 11th, 2023. So if you're hearing this after that, don't blow your senator's phone up necessarily. Any chance this gets delayed? Anybody?
Uh-oh. I sure hope so.
Oh, darn it. I hear the music. Dang, it's the music already. Sorry, Liam. All right, you guys, thanks a million. We will talk to you again soon. You're listening to We the People. You can find this show at wethepeopleradio.us.